Welcome to Spectrum Asia, another weekly discussion of topics of interest to our listeners throughout the USA and internationally. Here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Hi again, everyone. Welcome to another Spectrum show. Steve Warren here. We are, adding a bunch of new folks as the COVID world is sort of hopefully passing in the rearview mirror. I brought someone that we'd had on this before on China America previously, when he was associated with the NGLCC New York chapter, which is the LGBT Chamber of Commerce nationally. His name is Jonathan Lovett. So welcome back to China America Radio.
Thank you, Steve, and thanks to all the listeners. It's great to be back with you.
It's nice to see you again. I guess we ran into each other. You were here in New York for a number of years, and then you're originally from Florida, right?
Actually, originally from the Jersey Shore, grew up in the Florida area, made it to New York, and now I'm in Philly. So, like a lot of entrepreneurs, there's no clear path to that answer, right?
Yeah, that's very similar to those of us in the media business.
Absolutely.
Don't put down roots very long. But anyway, you're in Philadelphia now, and you have embarked on a new aspect of career because you are now running for the 182nd section of the assembly in Pennsylvania. And I know that the gentleman who has been the incumbent for the past decade, his name is Dan Sims, I believe, is running for lieutenant governor. So I guess that kind of opened the door for you. How did all that unfold?
Well, service has always been a dream. It's always been something I believed in, always something I wanted to be a part of since I think my first time ever interacting with a political campaign was a volunteer when I was a teenager, back when I was at the University of Florida for the John Kerry campaign, which, as I remember, was one of the first to ever really target diverse communities, LGBTQ people, AAPI, et cetera, beyond just, women for or Black voters for, like really drilling into unique issues. And I thought that that was something really important and really beautiful. And I didn't know how much that would be a part of my work in the future until I got heavily into the world of advocacy, especially for minority communities. All of these years since, helping write laws, helping to connect communities and business owners, helping to just be a part of whatever change we can make, really set me up for this opportunity where the outgoing incumbent, who was the first out LGBT member of the Pennsylvania House, is running for lieutenant governor. And I'm looking to fill those shoes and keep LGBTQ representation high and also make sure, especially after what we've all been through in COVID, businesses are well represented and minority voices are well represented at the table as we try to rebuild and grow. So this is the perfect opportunity at the perfect time, and I hope I'm the right guy for it. I think so.
With all due respect to legislators throughout our 50 states and beyond, in the world that I kind of grew up in the Midwest and in other places where I have migrated to, the state house, the state assembly, and the state senate in some cases, or whatever, however you call it, is at best rather benign. In recent years, with all of the discussion of election stuff, the state houses, the state legislatures are coming more foreground. And have you noticed that? And are you ready to take on the little hotter spotlight?
I am. I recently joked with another colleague in the media that I said my goal is to get to Harrisburg and make it a little less WWE and a little bit more of the West Wing, getting some of that brawling attitude out and realizing, red or blue, everyone's got to go home and help people. That is your job. And if you don't want to do it, go be a partisan hack somewhere on a radio, on a TV network or radio show. Don't do it when you're cashing the check of people who need you to help them. You're dead right that we've got a rise in power coming from sort of leaving the executive world and going back to legislatures. And yet so many people, there's terrifying statistics out there. It's like 70%+ of Americans couldn't tell you who their state rep or state senator is. And yet these are the people who control the majority of the things you touch in your life. It's not your city council. It's not your mayors. It's your state reps who help set the majority of your taxes, your state healthcare policy, your gun rights, your voting rights. And yet we cede that responsibility to people who we don't know. So making sure that people are really involved at every level of government, just not just in a presidential year, is so important in making sure that we are taking care of one another.
Our guest is Jonathan Lovitz, who's running for the 182nd District of the Pennsylvania House. And your district is right in Center City, Philadelphia. I mean, and you butt right up against Chinatown.
Yes.
I was interesting to note in the 2020 census that almost 14% of your population in your district are Asian, are API. And so I presume you've got some targeted messages for members of that community.
Absolutely, we do. And not the least, I think the most important of those messages is we see you and we hear you and we're going to protect you as neighbors. There is in Philadelphia, just as there has been around the country, an unprecedented and absolutely unbelievable rise in AAPI violence and hate and misunderstanding and misrepresentation that mirrors many issues we've seen in racial struggles and gender struggles and LGBTQ plus struggles. So the fact that the district I'm going to represent is this beautiful melting pot and intersection of all of these communities, while also being the single most important business district in arguably the entire Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, means that we really do need a champion who is as qualified to help diverse communities survive and thrive as he is able to help their businesses and their neighborhoods survive and thrive and grow. So it's really great. I've been spending, as so many do, every day out in the community, talking to neighbors, talking to business owners, talking to community leaders. And you're right, with the northern edge of my district butting right up against Chinatown, and with so many AAPI businesses supporting the hospitals and schools in the neighborhood here, making sure that they're as integrated into the recovery and into the programs that we have to keep growing and supporting all walks of life in Philadelphia is essential. That's why I keep telling people, if I'm not a great dresser, but I've got really long coattails. And if I'm at a table, you're at a table. You don't have to worry about, you know, is he only going to see my interests when we show up and harass him for it? No, because I've spent my lifetime focusing on diverse issues and making sure that no one is ignored when we go to the table to get some change done.
Pennsylvania is a huge state, and notwithstanding Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and a handful of other cities, it's primarily quite rural. And I think aren't all the seats in the assembly up at the same time this coming year? The election is going to be November, but your primary is in May.
That's right.
Have you had any touchy-feely moments with people from the rest of the state? Because you're the city dweller.
Anyways. Yeah, no, it's really nice too. You're exactly right. The Commonwealth gets a bad rap for being Philadelphia and Pittsburgh with, you know, a red state in the middle. There are people from all walks of life, people from so many diverse communities, so many industries that power everything that we love about Pennsylvania in every county. And I've been really lucky to get to travel a bunch, get to talk to folks in different business and minority communities around the entire Commonwealth. And we do, as our hopefully our next governor, Josh Shapiro, says, we are one Pennsylvania because we sink or swim together. If any group of counties does better than any others, that means we're inherently, you know, dividing ourselves. So talking to folks all over the state about what they need and how particularly the power and strength and resources of Philadelphia can help them is so, so important to all of us. And for me, being able to say, you know, like you said, my primary will be over in May, and hopefully we win, and we'll then have the rest of the summer to be able to take money and resources and energy to the rest of the Commonwealth and flip some more seats blue, help get some more people elected who are going to help protect and grow more of these communities. And, you know, remember that it is about all of us succeeding and not any one pocket or corner of the Commonwealth doing any better.
Are you preparing to spend an inordinate amount of time in Harrisburg?
I sure hope so. It's a great thing about this legislature being full time. It's a year-round commitment. you're there working on issues all year, but also you're back home in your district working with your community. And for me, that's a really important part of the job. It is about service. It's about being accessible to people. And I think too many state reps and state senators use their office just to help people with parking tickets and, you know, service academy letters, which are important things, but they're not doing, I think, the full breadth of services that we should be. In a time like this, where we're trying to put so many people back to work, a district rep's office should be a job resource center, should have resume workshops and volunteer opportunities and all of these things that help people live better. And I think we can create a model of that in Philly that we can export to the other counties around and help people understand that that service is the key part. And, you know, going to Harrisburg and just screaming for the YouTube hits is not good governing. That, you know, I say a lot, we need a lot more selflessness and a lot less selfies when it comes to your elected officials.
In Pennsylvania, currently the governor is a Democrat and a strong Democrat candidate coming up for grabs as well. But the legislature is Republican controlled, yes. So I understand.
For now.
The likelihood of being taking a chunk out of that this time around, is that, how does that look to you guys?
It's getting better. We owe a big debt of gratitude to the Democratic leadership of House Leader Joanna McClinton and Senator Jay Costa, those on the redistricting committee who are trying to turn back and stem the tide of some really nasty Republican gerrymandering over the last several years, which is still, you know, being attempted as we speak with court challenges. The more we can have these districts fairly and equitably represent the people they serve, the better we're all going to be. And that doesn't necessarily mean flipping it for one side or the other. It just means getting representation that actually serves the people where you live and their unique issues. And I think it's one of the unique things about sending someone like me to the House is, you know, red or blue, everybody sees green. And I've helped pass laws in the reddest of red places and the bluest of blue places that helped minority communities and help small businesses. Because I said, look, here's what it's going to do for the bottom line of the people where you live. I will help you go home and sell it as a social agenda, or I can help you go home and sell it as an economic agenda. But at the end of the day, you've got to help people live better so that there's money to spend on the social services we all need.
Our guest is Jonathan Lovitz. Jonathan, if you want to share your web address, if people want to find out more about you, your background, some of the positions that you have, where should they go?
They should go to lovitzforpa.com. That's LOVITZFORPA.com. On social media, we'd love to hear from you at lovitzforpa. And I've got to say, Steve, a real debt of gratitude to you and a journalist out there, especially throughout the pandemic. Telling our stories is how so many people felt informed and felt connected in this time when we've never felt further apart from each other. I'm married to a journalist. We're part of major journalist networks. And the work you do, I think, has literally saved lives throughout the pandemic because you've made people, you've reminded people that they're not alone. And as someone who's trying to tie people together and help them in a political way, I really appreciate what you do and the China America team. It's important, and I only want to see it grow.
Well, we certainly appreciate the cooperation we've had from you over the years. Hope that that will continue as well. Jonathan Lovitz, congratulations on, you know, making this leap in your career, and best wishes at the polls when things come up in May and again in November. And we'll try to catch up with you somewhere along the way.
I'd be so honored. Thank you all.
Thank you for listening to this week's edition of Spectrum Asia. To hear podcasts of past programs, visit the Spectrum Asia tab on our website at ChinaAmericaRadio.com.